The actions taken to date by the president have seriously violated the Constitution, especially when the president says, Article 2 says I can do whatever I want. For the past several months, we have been investigating in our committees and litigating in the courts so the House can gather all the relevant facts and consider whether to exercise its full Article 1 powers, including a constitutional power of the utmost gravity, approval of articles of impeachment. And this week, the president has admitted to asking the president of Ukraine to take actions which would benefit him politically. The actions of the Trump presidency revealed the dishonorable fact of the president's betrayal of his oath of office, betrayal of our national security, and betrayal of the integrity of our elections. Therefore, today, I'm announcing the House of Representatives moving forward with an official impeachment inquiry. I'm directing our six committees to proceed with their investigations under that umbrella of impeachment inquiry. The president must be held accountable. No one is above the law.
Okay, let's run.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host for a special episode, Brad.
What a fantastic couple of days here.
Look, you got to give him a little bit of Nick Cage and Gone in 60 Seconds. Yeah, so this is a very special episode. Obviously, we just put out an episode, but Stupid Andy and Stupid Jay decided to record on a Monday, and apparently the rest of the world decided, fuck it, let's let hell break loose on Tuesday morning. So we decided to do an emergency podcast to give our immediate thoughts on the impeachment announcement. Brad, is this a big deal?
You know, it's happened before.
It's all right.
It's a mild blip in the night. No, we joke all the time that the stuff that happens in Trump land, like every week he has something that would have taken down every other presidency, so it's kind of hard to actually measure the gravity of certain news stories. This is a big deal.
Yeah, this is what you can measure.
This is a pretty big deal. This is something that's pretty much only happened like three other times in U.S. history. So,
yeah, well, technically only two. Right. Like, because Nixon was like,
they launched an inquiry into Nixon, though.
Yeah, that's true. And then he was like, you know what? You got me dead to rights. I'm out. I figured this whole thing out right now. So look, this is a huge deal, obviously. So we're going to talk about our thoughts on things that have happened. And boy, did we, because we were going to do this yesterday. Right. We were going to be like, all right, holy shit. You know, it's Monday night. Let's get it done. And I'm glad we waited till Wednesday because more came out.
Holy
and we'll
shit.
Probably even regret this tomorrow. Which
I don't
crazy.
Know. I mean, the stuff that came out this morning is incredible, not only because of what it is, but because of the pre and post reaction to it from the White House.
Yes.
Has been hilarious.
Boy, did they think they nailed it. We got this, guys. Boom. Done. So a couple of things. Also, there's other breaking news tonight, Brad. I don't know if you saw this, but I will. If you haven't, I hope you didn't, because I'll break that news to you today. So a couple of things that are really interesting. Right up front, you heard Pelosi give her sort of formal announcement at about 5 o'clock yesterday. Where she announces that they're doing the impeachment inquiry. Now, this has been a long time coming because people have been screaming about having her authorize this back during the Mueller investigation. Like, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Now, people were pissed at her, rightfully so, because she was dragging her feet a lot. But I would just, in the interest of fairness and facts, she was mostly dragging her feet because she didn't even have the vote to get it done in the House, because there are a lot of House Democrats who get to run under the radar and not get criticized as much as Pelosi does, because she's top shit. They were the real reason that this wasn't getting done, right? So you got to give her shit because she deserves it, but you also got to know that there are a lot of Democrats who were not on board. However, with this whistleblower situation, a lot of them were like, all right, this is a bridge too far.
Yeah. Well, I think the reason why a lot of, you know, Democrats in swing districts, or, you know, so-called frontline Democrats, didn't really have the stomach to do it on the Rush investigation is because I feel like some people were like, well, a lot of this stuff is stuff that happened before he was the president. Now, right. I would argue that he has continued that conspiracy into his presidency and used his presidency to help cover up a lot of the Russian 100%. Stuff. So I don't think that excuse holds water, but I can understand why people were trying to use it. Right. This is very much him using the power of his office to basically extort another nation into helping him attack a political opponent. That's at right. at the end of the day, that's pretty much what this is.
Right. You know, a president using their powers to do mob style extortion is crazy. Like, I mean, you and I have joked offline, like he might as well have come on that call and been like, oh, it's a lovely border you have there. It's a shame if something happened to it, right? Like, we'll just let Russia roll tanks in and fuck your shit up. So, I think also there was an op-ed, I believe, in the New York Times where it was seven quote-unquote frontline Democrats. Some of these seven Democrats were frontline Democrats that were all former military or intelligence folks, right? That are now House Democrats. And they are the ones, a number of them were quote-unquote frontline Democrats who were in districts that Trump carried or they just barely won and things like that. And Pelosi's big argument has always been, look, I don't want to risk a situation where I could lose a bunch of Democrats in 2020 by doing this impeachment because they're in swing districts or they're in vulnerable districts, right? So she was afraid of that. By the way, look, I think you should give Nancy Pelosi all the shit you want, but you also have to realize that's a reasonable concern, right? Like, it is a reasonable concern. I don't think it is as serious of a concern as she made it out to be, but it is a reasonable concern. I will stipulate that. That being said, look at how many Republicans are retiring. You're going to keep the House. You'll be fine, right? Obviously, more power is more power, but still, like, you're good, right? The House is not flipping. Like, that is almost guaranteed at this point. Like, the Democrats would really have to screw up. They'd be like, we're coming for your kids at this point in order for people to be like, okay, we're not going to vote for you. So once those people who she was protecting came out and was like, yes, we are vulnerable, but we even support impeachment, it's over. Like, there's no excuse to protect them, you know, quote unquote protect them. Mm-hmm. If they're rolling with impeachment, you got to roll with it. Like, there's no argument at that point.
And also too, like, not only that, but I mean, in the wake of what we've learned so far, if you're not going to fucking, again, we said it about Russia and it was true then as well, but especially in this case, given what we now know, especially from this memo that came out from the White House,
right?
If you're not going to do it for this, don't have it in. Just make a constitutional amendment to get rid of the impeachment clause in the Constitution.
Right. Like, there's no point. Right. Like, he's committing again a mob style crime. Like, as president. Like, your point, I think, is valid. Right. Where it would make sense. Of course, obviously, we don't agree with it, but it would make logical sense to be like, well, these are things that he did beforehand. So yada yada yada. You can talk yourself out of it. But dude, he's president now. Like, crimes that he commits, or, you know, the potential for crimes that he's committing while president, you can't let those slide. And I also think that there is another major point to be had here, which is we have to stop. And this seems to be a theme of, like, the Warren campaign specifically. Like, we have to stop voting out of fear and participating in politics out of fear, right? If you were like, oh, I don't think we should try to impeach him because that's going to rile up his base. Fuck his base. They're riled up anyway. Like,
that's a point that I made in someone's post. Is that I need Democrats to stop the hand-wringing over riling up the Republican base. Trump can do that on his own. All Trump has to do is, you know, spout some sort of xenophobic rhetoric, all, you know, talk about an invasion, coming, you know, right. coming from Mexico, talk about, you know, his persecution complex, which he's going to get to fucking trot out in,
oh, he gonna in run full that regalia
for the next several months.
Oh, he's going to run into the ground.
He can get his base riled up without us impeaching him. Right. Start worrying about energizing our base. You don't think people are going to want to, like assume that, you know, we go forward this, he gets impeached. He's not going to get removed in the Senate unless something dramatic happens.
Right.
You don't think Democrats are going to want to come out to get this motherfucker out of the way in 2020?
I mean, look, that is the reality, right? That is part of the absolute reality is, yes, obviously, like, there is the notion of, yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot. Like, there's a notion of, like, a very binary view of politics, especially people who sort of tangentially look at it, right? It's like, blue team, red team, win, lose. Like, that's it. But that's actually not how politics really works. Like, politics is based in compromise, right? You're almost always losing and always winning, like, to an extent. You know, like, when it's working properly, right?
It's the old adage that, you know, you got a good deal when both people walk away from the table unhappy.
Right. Exactly. You're like, all right, son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. You know, like that's how it's supposed to work. When it is working properly, that is correct. Right. So because of that notion, like, you could have a situation where they just run the impeachment inquiry and, like, get it to a fucking fever pitch. By the way, this, if I have my druthers, this is what I would do. If I'm Pelosi, I run into an absolute fucking fever pitch to everyone on the fucking Democrats is screaming and hollering to get in rabbit, to get this guy the fuck out. And they come out in 2020, they vote vote Democrat, they get a bunch of people in the extra people in the House. Maybe they even take back the Senate if you're lucky, right? Like, if you really get them ramped up, because that's the goal, is to take the Senate and the House. Look, if you win the presidency, that's great. If you don't, it sucks. But if you don't, right? Like, I'm not saying it's not a big deal, but obviously that's pretty hard, right? Like, it's actually easier to win the presidency than the Senate. But still, if you don't win the presidency, but you win the Senate and you have the House, then you have massive power. You have massive, massive power. You can stop judicial nominees. You can do way more damage to the Trump presidency than you could ever do just owning the House.
Well, so I'll take you one further. You vote on impeachment, and here's why. So you're going to force Republicans in the House to vote on this.
Right.
They're going to be on the record whether or not they supported this. And again, whether he gets removed from the Senate or not, he won't. They will, you know, vote to keep him in there.
Right.
But you're getting all these GOP votes on the record.
Yeah, and that's a good point.
You're not worried, like, people are like, oh, well, they're going to vote for him anyway. Yeah, you're right. His 30 to 35% unmovable base absolutely will. There's nothing you can do to change that.
Right.
But those actual, like, principled conservatives, like those actual moderate Republicans, are people that give a shit about, you know, norms and stuff like that in the country.
Crazy.
How excited do you think those folks are not only going to be to go out and vote for Donald Trump, but go out and vote to reelect senators that protected him, that did not vote to hold him accountable. Right. The crimes are out there.
Yeah. No, he's admitting to them. He's admitting to them today. He's fucking admitting them. So, yeah, you know, you're right. You're right. So, okay, let's say you lose in the Senate. By the way, Andrew Johnson, they tried to impeach him. They lost. And then they tried again, and it stuck. like, you know, it failed. I think it failed in the House the first time, and then they tried it again in the House, and it fucking passed, right? Like, so you can change the narrative. You can try again.
Well, and again, history has shown, like, history proves that it's a good idea. Nixon resigned before he got impeached.
Right, because he knew he was going to lose.
Right. Ford took over, pardoned him right away like a moron, and then he got beat in 76.
Yeah.
Clinton gets impeached in 98. People like to be like, oh, you know, it didn't help Democrat. It didn't help Republicans in the midterms. No, it didn't. It certainly fucking helped them in 2000 when Clinton's vice president was running for office and doing
that's
his
the part.
Best
that's to, the part people gloss over very easily. I might
right.
Add.
And Al Gore's trying to distance himself from Bill Clinton, but at the same time, not because he was trying to actually Biden his way into the presidency. He wanted all the good parts of the Clinton presidency, but he wanted to keep the Lewinsky stuff over on this side. He didn't want to have to talk about that.
I mean, it was kind of fucked up how they kind of lined poor Al Gore up, like, as if he was holding Monica Lewinsky's hair while she was doing the blowjob. It's like, he was there. Like, I wasn't even there. I love destroying icebergs, like, or building them up. Like, I'm just a nice guy. But then, no, that's a good point, right? Like, that, the point is, impeachment isn't, and that goes back to my point about binary. It is not about always winning or losing. It is actually sometimes when you lose, you still win. And right, sometimes when you win, you can still lose.
Right. And you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. One of the things that Democrats ran on in 2018 to flip the House was holding the executive branch accountable.
Right.
And you can't have, especially in this situation, this very blatant wrongdoing in the executive branch, and just let that shit slide.
No,
you're gonna depress your turnout.
Not only are you gonna depress your turnout, what is the precedent that you're setting? Right, the precedent that you're setting is that anyone running for president, especially Republicans, can go ahead and feel free to go to foreign nations and dig up dirt on their opponents. You can solicit help openly or behind the scenes. It doesn't fucking matter anymore, right? Yeah, we were talking in that thread that you saw. I was talking to somebody. There's a thread on Facebook that we were talking about. You can go to lookforwardshow.com/fans. But I was talking to somebody and I said, look, he's been joking, in quotes, he's been joking about running for a third term or demanding a third term. If you don't call him out now, what happens when he goes for a third term? You don't want to rile his base up again? Right? You want to sit back? You want to just chill while these motherfuckers come steamrolling their way into a third term? Then what does that set the precedent? Like, this is how fascism takes over, is by not challenging and not fighting these guys and go, oh, they're going to burn themselves out. No, but they're not going to burn themselves out. You have to fight them now.
Something I've said on this show many times before, history has proven when you pressure Donald Trump, he fucks up like crazy.
Right.
Just the stuff that he's done in the wake of this. Before the memo launched, so yesterday, he reportedly called Nancy Pelosi to see if he could work out something to do.
Please help me. Please.
On impeachment.
I'm so sorry, Nancy.
Today, his team emailed the White House talking points on the reaction to the memo to House Democrats and had to send out another email to try to recall, to
dude, they try to do an exchange recall. That's hilarious. As an IT person, I just found that funny. Like, dude, people already read that shit. They don't work.
And again, this is day two. He's fucking up like this on day two.
Right.
Can you imagine once facts start coming out?
Right.
Once hearings start happening. Once investigations are going on.
By the way, he's gonna fucking lose it. By the way, to your larger point, you're 100% correct. The other side of that is now that the Democrats have the whole thing of like bringing in their lawyers to get to work. Oh no, you're in trouble, please. Dude. You're in a world of trouble.
I swear to God, if from this point forward, when we have hearings inside these committees, if the Democrats aren't using their attorneys to do this, like
you're
their staff attorneys,
time.
You have to. That Lewandowski hearing, and we're not going to spend time on that because we're past it. That Lewandowski hearing was a joke until the staff attorney got up and started asking him questions.
Yeah. No, these
and
guys
that,
are,
that
this
turned
is their
it on
job.
A dime.
This right. is their job. They know what the fuck they're doing. Step aside. Look, it's cool. I get it. Oh, I'm a House member. I want to make a name for myself. Da, 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 da. Yeah. Look, AOC, I love you. Squad, I love you. You are not ready for this. This is not the part that, like, make your name in the afternoon. The morning time, that is the fucking business, right? The afternoon is the fucking make your name, get the hot takes or whatever for YouTube. That's fine. When you're talking about the business, you get these motherfucking lawyers out there because these are the guys who are cracking headlines. This is the shit that matters because you get these motherfuckers on the record to admit shit that they don't realize that they're admitting. Absolutely. That, like, it made all the difference in the world. And look, Rachel Maddow made that point and I thought it was a really good one. Have these guys go first. Do all the fucking styling on these motherfuckers with all the big names. Oh, AOC and Ayanna Pressley. Have them all in the afternoon. Have all the fucking House members in the afternoon. Have the lawyers in the morning where fucking C-SPAN and everybody can clip those shit out and throw it on YouTube and get those guys embarrassed.
Shit, I'll give you one better. Let the Republicans have the morning session themselves. Let them just fucking just rail off on, you know, just keep on going. And then in the afternoon, you take your lawyer And guess what? I got an hour to question you uninterrupted. Have fun.
Yeah.
Let's make a story.
I mean, look, I personally think now that I, because I didn't realize that you could do that until you know, a number of months ago. I don't even know why they, I mean, besides, like, there's also the, like, the celebrity bullshit of Congress. Like, if I'm the Democrats, I'm like, nobody in the House talks. These are all lawyers. like we are here for business. We're not here for style. Look, do a press conference after. Like, if you want to style on these motherfuckers, like, that's fine. I got no problem with that. You know, even, like, give a little bit of leeway if I'm in the Senate. Like, give a little bit of leeway to the Democratic, you know, candidates. Oh, I know Kamala Harris. You want to get in there and fucking drop a couple of elbows. I get it. But at the same time, we have people who are lawyers. Granted, Kamala Harris was a former lawyer. But, like, we have lawyers who are going to do this job. And I think that's what they should lean on. Because it clearly works. It clearly works. Let me break a little bit of news here for you, Brad. I don't know if you saw this, but I'll probably break
because I have CNN's like live stream story stream.
You're fucking on it. But for folks who don't know, so this came out at 6:30 p.m. today. Biden probe was conditioned for Trump Zelensky phone call, according to Ukrainian advisor to the president of Ukraine. So
let me tell you something about this whole situation. So if you guys watched the or at least caught clips of the press availability earlier today, Zelensky wants absolutely nothing to do with this entire situation.
Nah, you
fucked
up.
Holy shit, does he not want to be in the middle of this, dude, right now?
Here's a Donald Trump, if you're listening, and I know that you are. You picked the right guy to back and fuck around with in 2016, which is Vladimir Putin. He's your boy. You picked a wrong horse to back in 2020, my man. Like, this dude don't want nothing to do with this bullshit. Like, you're supposed to pick a guy who's already on your side. You're not supposed to try to pull a guy onto your side. That's a bad move. Like, did Joe Biden do any work in, like, India? Like, Moody would be down for you. Like, that guy's basically a fascist, right? Like, you're making him say, did Biden do any work in the rainforest? Like, Bolsonaro would be like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Biden's the worst, right? He would be on board. But you went to this guy who's literally trying to clean up his country, and the Ukraine right now, they're not fucking pro-Russian, you idiot. Like, they're exactly the opposite. Spoiler alert, watch a documentary called Winter on Fire. It's on Netflix. It's very good. It'll bring you up to speed, right? Perhaps Ukraine, not the best move here.
No. But I will also tell you, Jay, just as a quick aside before we get into it.
I need to rewatch that. That's very good.
Our concerned true blue Republican senators, your Ben Sasses, your Mitt Romneys, your
Ben
Sasses
is
out there.
The world's biggest bitch.
I'll have you know, Jay, that they are currently at fret level midnight right now. with these allegations that are flying around right now.
That's pretty good. That might be the title of this. Yeah, look, Ben Sasse was supposed to be like, remember, I'm old enough to remember when Ben Sasse was
Farm remembers.
Right. Like, I'm old enough to remember when Ben Sasse, I literally listened to an article. I think it was from like the Atlantic or something. And I was like, oh wow, this Ben Sasse guy, like, this is interesting. Right. Cause like, I knew who Ben, I heard the name, but I didn't know much about Ben Sasse. And I'm listening to this article and it's like, Ben Sasse says, you know, that the Trump administration is a real problem, and he seems like the intellectual, you know, heart of the Republican Party, and he's going to come in and push against Trump, and likely he will be the guy who, you know, primaries Trump and you know, takes him down and restores the Republican Party. Yo, Ben Sasse is a bitch. Ben, if you're listening, and I know that you are, please grow a pair of balls. It is ridiculous. What happened to Ben Sasse? He was supposed to be the guy. He was supposed to be the guy.
I have coined him as White Rubio. That's basically what Ben Sasse.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Like, you're not. Like, I'm amazed. I am truly amazed that Ben Sasse has been completely ineffectual. Here's another guy. You mentioned Mitt Romney. You're in fucking Utah. There is literally nothing that is going to get you out of Congress. Nothing.
Jay, he's very troubled. Nothing. He's very troubled by these quotes that are in this memo. Very troubled.
To quote the great Bernard Sanders, well, isn't that nice? it doesn't matter. Nice. Like, dude, you're fucking Mitt Romney, dude. You are a name. You are a real, like, you were the Republican nominee. You are a real fucking name. If you say this is unacceptable, people will follow you.
The problem is he checked his dignity at the door when he sat down with Trump to try to grovel for that Secretary of State position.
Look, Mitt Romney I had medium hopes for Mitt Romney. I really did. Not high hopes, but like I thought that he was as big enough a name that if he saw something that he thought was unacceptable, that he would actually have the balls to say it. Because like he literally is at this point, he is politically untouchable. He is. Dude, you're in fucking Utah. Who cares? What are they not going to vote for Mitt Romney? Mr. I've never had a cup of coffee. Come on, yo. They're going to vote for you, yo. Knock it off. You can call this guy out.
They're terrified of Trump, though.
Why? Dude, all right. Brad, I'm asking this, and I'm not trying to be a dick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe a little. But is it that were white kids not taught about bullies? Like, were you guys not taught about bullies? Like, as a black kid in America, I was taught that if you want to take down a bully, you got to punch back, right? You got to call them out. You got to fight back.
I had one or two bullies in elementary school. One of them I did not push back on, and he continued to, annoy me. But later on, like when I went to a different school, eventually I had another bully, and I punched him in his mouth, and that was the end of the bullying.
Yeah, like that's it, guys. That's it. That's it. Listen to Brad. Brad is telling you exactly what to do here.
The reason they're scared is because he has scalps. He, he was one of the reasons that John Boehner got driven out of the party. He's the biggest reason that Paul Ryan got driven out of Congress. He's the biggest reason he's the reason Mark Sanford is not in Congress anymore. Like, he has collected some very high profile scalps, and that's why they're fucking terrified of him.
Yeah. That is a fair point. I'm just a stubborn asshole. Like, there's no way I wouldn't go up against this guy. Like, if I was a Republican, I cannot imagine a scenario where I would be. But if I was, and I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this guy, and this guy is like saying all this outlandish shit, and I'm at home and I'm like, yo, this doesn't make any sense. Like, none of this is real. This guy is trying to, do all this shit that I don't agree with. Now I gotta say something. Like, my mouth is too big.
But again, that the problem
I'm not afraid.
They have created a party that, and again, we repeat ourselves a lot because we're right about this stuff. They've created a party not centered around ideology, but around fighting. Mm-hmm. And when you don't have anything to fall back on, anything real, I mean, they want rich people to pay as little in taxes as possible and, and destroy social programs as much as they possibly can. And they're becoming increasingly anti-immigrant. But when you don't have anything real to fall back on, all you have is the fight. And the reason why he won, the reason why they chose him to go up against Hillary Clinton, is because he was going to be the best fighter against Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're not wrong. Because, by the way, you pick any of those other candidates, any of the other like 16 or 18 candidates, they all lose to Hillary Clinton on 100% of the time. 100% of the time. Granted, he cheated, so that's a part of it, but he's the only, I think he's the only one on that list who would be as blatant as he was, right? I think some of the other ones would have, like, they totally would have, like, cheated to, like, regular Republican standards, right? Mm-hmm. But only he would have gone above and beyond because he knows that ultimately he could not win on his own. I'm actually very disappointed in Mitt Romney. I'm very disappointed in Ben Sasse. But there are no heroes in the Republican Party. We that is a refrain from on this podcast all the time. that Andy coined. It's 100% right. Like every time I'm like, oh, maybe they're gonna no.
you and I are too optimistic.
Yeah, no, Andy fucking nailed that one months ago, and he's just sticking to it, and he's right every time. Like, look at this good thing they did. And he's like, give it a week. He's like, God damn it, you're right. No, I want to believe in humanity, but it turns out the party is just garbage. It's just a bunch of garbage. So let's talk a little bit of the details, right? So we did talk about the news that broke about Zelensky's advisor basically saying, like, look, we – let me see if I can pull up this quote, because the quote I think is really important. He says – where is it? Basically, quote, it was clear that President Donald Trump will only have communications if they will discuss the Biden case, says Lyshenko, an anti-corruption advocate and former member of the Ukraine parliament, who now acts as an advisor to Zelensky. Quote, this issue was raised many times. I know that Ukrainian officials understood. So, all right, that's a perfect segue into what we got today, which is we got an unredacted, in fairness, an unredacted memorandum. It is not a transcript. A fucking transcript. A memorandum, which we will talk about what the differences are, of the call between Trump and Zelensky. All right, Brad. One, memorandum versus transcript. Please explain to folks listening.
So a transcript is a direct recording, a direct, you know.
Sorry, that was me opening my scotch bottle.
Oh, tonight's scotch night.
Apparently. Yeah, no. Yeah. This episode is brought to you by a primate's upper body region. If you know anything about scotch, you'll know that one.
See, so yeah, like I said, a transcript would be a complete, you know, transcription. It's in the word of the entire call between Trump and Zelensky. What right. this was a contemporaneous memo that was made shortly after the call by folks that were – like by DNI folks, if I'm not mistaken, or his aides that were allowed to listen in on the call.
Right. Now keep in mind, you can pull out and put in anything that you want. I'm just saying. Like, I think that's important to understand, right? Like, because if you read this and you read it like I read it, and you talk to people like Brad, and you respond like, what the fuck is this bullshit? It makes sense because it is not an actual transcript. And that's super important, right? Like, I know we're making the, like, sort of academic distinction between a transcript and a memorandum, it is incredibly important.
Right. It is super important because there are ellipses in some of the quotations in this memo. So there is – we're not getting the entire call, and I don't think we can, by the way. I don't think a transcription was made. I don't think any recordings were made either.
No, it's U.S. policy to not make actual transcripts.
Okay. So you're right. So we're never going to get that stuff. So this is all we're going to have as far as this information. Trump has also said that he is planning on releasing the first call between him and Zelensky. Well, I mean, even if he does, I'm really – like I know we said that we didn't expect this one to be explosive. I'm really not expecting that one
to be as explosive. Here's the thing. Well, you know, continue. Go ahead.
Right. So we're not going to get that. So this is all we have to go of. Now, we all assumed that what we were getting with this memo was going to be something akin to the Bill Barr Mueller report summary, where 100%. It was an obvious misrepresentation of what the Mueller report was. They were just trying to spin the optics before the report was released to the public. And I thought that this was going to be the same thing, a relatively benign, you know, memo of this call between Trump and Zelensky to spin the optics before the whistleblower complaint was what, you know, came out or was made available to Congress.
Right.
And nah, the quid pro quo is just,
it's right in
right there.
There.
Just, it's just right in there.
If you could just please do these things for us, we'll help you out. We'll send you some javelins. Look, there are a couple things about this memo, or memorandum, excuse me, that I find curious. My first thought is this is all bullshit. This is not what the whistleblower was talking about at all.
And that's the thing that you have to realize. Like, this memo, this document is the nicest view of this situation.
Right.
That exists out there. Because right. This is what the White House was willing to show us.
Right. After Can days of...
you imagine what the full whistleblower complaint looks
it's
like?
It's fucking bonkers, dude. Like, look. Again, we are old enough to remember every time the Trump administration does this, right? Which is, no, we're not going to show you this thing. No, it didn't exist. It exists. It's not as bad as you thought.
Oh, this
here's
this,
part this, of it. This turns switch, out here this, it is. This isn't the this real thing. Holy so shit, here's the real thing.
I had whiplash. They reversed course on this so fast.
As dude, they changed it like four times.
Well, as soon as Nancy Pelosi uttered the I word, all of a sudden it's like, oh, you want the memo? Here's the memo. I got the memo right here. You don't have to impeach me.
Please, please, please. Please don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Look, and by the way, going back to an earlier point that you made, like him calling around Congress, him trying to get Nancy Pelosi on the phone to get a deal and all this other stuff, Trump is aware of how many seats they have in the Senate versus the House, or at least what the majorities are in both chambers. He's calling because he's afraid. And we're going to get into why he's afraid. So when you say, we shouldn't do anything, this motherfucker is terrified. And by the way, when we get to that part of the episode, he should be fucking scared. He should be real scared. But that proves, right? That proves a fundamental, which is he is scared. He absolutely, oh, let's make a deal. Nancy, what do you want? You want me to buy your kids a fucking new car? What do you want? What do you want? I'll do anything. Because he doesn't want the impeachment. It's not because he cares about his record. He don't give a fuck about a record. He cares about what are you going to find out in discovery. That's what he cares about. And that's the big point here. It's so a super huge point.
Here's the wild thing about this whole thing. So definitely was expecting the Biden thing to come up in this memo.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't expecting the notion that somehow Ukraine is in possession of the 30,000 missing Hillary Clinton emails, which is the byproduct of a insane right-wing conspiracy theory that derives from the whole Pizzagate situation, by the way.
Womp womp.
Wasn't expecting Trump to implore the Ukrainian president to work with Rudy Giuliani and Bill Barr on investigating.
Hey, Bill, you should go to jail. You should be impeached at a minimum. Yeah, like you literally just, I mean, even Giuliani is saying this now, right? Giuliani is saying that he didn't talk to the Ukrainians at all except when he was asked by the fucking State Department. So you just threw Pompeo under the bus. Oh, great. Good job, you fucking idiot. You threw your State Department under the bus. You threw that fucking human gargoyle come to life, Rudy Giuliani, under the bus. You threw yourself under the bus. Yeah, who's next? Who's next? Who's
how next? How many credible attorneys have refused to work with Donald Trump? Because if Rudy Giuliani is the best that he can get to represent his personal interest, that's
pretty bad.
Like, this is not the first time that Giuliani has given up the goods on national TV.
He's the worst. Oh, Trump thinks he's really good because he gets out there and yells at Chris Cuomo. Motherfucker, that shit don't matter when they bring your ass in front of Congress. Like, you can win the television wars all you want. It's whether or not you win the congressional wars. And right now, it don't look like you're going to win those congressional wars. They're going to tear your ass up in Congress. They're going to tear your ass up. And I can't wait. So, you know, this is a big deal, right? The transcript or quote unquote memorandum is a big deal. It's a huge deal. But I'm going to call bullshit on some of these things. The Washington Post report was that Trump asked 8 times about opening a Biden investigation. That's one, right? Just take that as a separate thing. 8 times is what they said. Mm-hmm. Let's say give or take 2.
I mean, there right? was another phone call.
Right.
So
right. So Trump says he's willing to release that one too. How redacted is it, right? Like, we'll see, right? He says a lot of things, not buying it. He said, they said the report was, and I believe the Washington Post, because I think they have more information than they're leading, they're letting on, right? I think they're slow rolling.
To that point, and this is a more broad thing. So Trump, during the availability with Zelensky today, he lies about everything. He lied about the fact that there was a Ukrainian Miss Universe that won the competition. Like, again, he lies about anything. Significant or not. So don't believe a word that he has to say. And I really wish that literally every news agency in the country would run stuff that he says with those caveats attached.
Dude, they just cut in. I don't know if you saw this. MSNBC, he was giving a speech and they just cut in and we're like, we are sorry to do this, but the president's not telling the truth.
Good. That's how it should work.
That's how it should work. Absolutely. Yes. 100% true. Or like, you know, like 90s pop-up video where they're just like, this is a lie. Like, this is a lie. Like, this is bullshit. Like, don't listen to them. Like, just counter, oh my you know, God. Like.
What if you had the real time? They could do it too. They could run.
Of course, pop-up video was awesome.
No, I'm saying they could run his speeches on like a 30-second delay.
Yeah,
100%. Or a minute delay and just do real-time fact-checking.
Like, no, none of this is true. Like, look, if you really want to get, you know, Gen Z folks like us, and millennials on board, do pop-up video, dude. Come on. That would be so awesome. My pop-up video is great. It was, you know, our generation invented that. You're welcome. And if you don't know what pop-up video is, God, Carrie is screaming right now because she has no idea what this is. But yeah, you could do real-time fact-checking. I think it would actually be really smart. So, but okay, look, getting back to why I think this release of this memorandum is bullshit. Complete and utter bullshit. My bullshit detector is through the fucking roof right now. 8 times he was supposedly brought up the Biden investigation or potential for the Biden investigation. Not in this memorandum. He brought it up, I think, once, maybe twice, right? Like, that's it. Two, the big part. The whistleblower says that there was a promise made. There is not a promise made in this. What he does is he brings up Biden and he's like, you know, it's not a direct promise. What it is is, hey, I'd really like you to look into this. That's an ask. An ask is not a promise. And the person in the intelligence community is not just going to willy-nilly say promise. This is a fucking very specific type of language that is used in these investigations. It's a very specific type of language. When you were doing a whistleblower investigation, they are saying a promise because it was an exchange. There is a quid pro quo. And just mentioning Biden is not a quid pro quo. I would argue that it is not. I think there is more there.
The only thing I would fight you on with that is, and it's so strange that intent can be derived just from one word.
Yeah, and you so, talked about this offline.
Right. And so what happens is that Zelensky talks about wanting to, you know, purchase, you know, missile defense.
Javelins.
Javelins, stuff like that. And the president follows up immediately after that question with, I would like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot. So if he had just said, I would like you to do us a favor, it would give at least an inch of plausible deniability. But that though being there, makes it directly related to the request that came before.
That's
so
correct.
To me, that is the quid pro quo. That's not going to stand up in an impeachment hearing.
No.
But it is it gives you an idea of what the destination is supposed to look like. Yeah. I think.
I can 100% see your point. But I don't think you do a whistleblow situation. I don't think you do it on that. I don't.
That's what I'm saying. We still have a lot to learn about this situation, apparently.
Right. And look, man, one thing that I think we can all say with pretty decent certainty is that Trump is not a guy of like understatement. He is a guy who says exactly what he wants. I'm not saying it exists. I can 100% see in my mind's eye a conversation between him and Zelensky going, if you do X, I will give you Y. just plainly stated, mm-hmm. he's not a nuanced guy. He's not a finagler. That's not who he is. He is a bull in a china shop. I find it hard to believe that the quid pro quo, and I don't disagree with you mm-hmm. that though implies that. I don't think that's it. I don't. I really don't.
Well, it is possible that maybe the demand was made through a go-between. Maybe like the personal attorney that you sent over to the Ukraine.
Right.
You know, the personal attorney that's not an employee of the federal government and therefore cannot be executive privilege cannot be exerted over.
Right. Except that he was also working with the fucking Department of Justice and the State Department, apparently. So, whatever, right? Fuck the law.
Yeah, I mean, well, that just tells me that we might need to impeach Bill Barr so that he could testify.
You mean, like the guy who's been running cover for fucking Donald Trump for months? Look, if we can throw, as it's been trending on Twitter, which I find infinitely hilarious, old Rudy Caluti, if you can throw him in jail, that would be fine by me. You'll hear nothing out of me. I think the whole Zelensky thing is super interesting because they literally thought that they had a pal, and they don't. They don't. Like, they're like, hey, why don't we call up Jon Stewart or some comedian president on a TV show and see if he'll be on board. And he was like, no, I'm not on board for that. Don't do that. And they didn't realize who they were getting in bed with. And this guy is not a corrupt piece of shit. Like, he's just not. At least that hasn't been that hasn't been shown as of right now. Maybe.
I mean, this is the same guy who today with reporters said, I thought they were only going to release their part of the conversation.
Yeah, no, this guy
released the whole thing.
Nah, you fucked up. Nah, you fucked up thinking that Zelensky was the guy. He's not the guy. And it's funny, like, this guy literally ran on like an anti-corruption thing. Now, granted, that could be all bullshit, right? Like, Trump ran on draining the swamp. That was not real. But this Volodymyr Zelensky guy seems like he might be the real deal. And it's just hilarious that you just picked the wrong mark. You just did. And this guy's like, no, I'm not with you, dude. Because I would love if he just came out personally and was like, yeah, no, he tried to pressure me in that shit. And we didn't do it because it sounded like nonsense. Like, oops. So quickly, Brad, mm-hmm. do you think Andy and I talked about this on the last full episode. We have our thoughts as far as like, or at least I have my thoughts as to who the leaker is. Do you have an idea who the whistleblower is?
I don't. Leaker. I know that you think. I know your theory is that it's Dan Coats. I don't think we'd be so lucky. Though that would be amazing,
dude. Some people think it's John Bolton, which is super.
That would
wild.
Be honestly, honest to God, that would be the optimal outcome. Like if it was John Bolton, that would just be the funniest fucking thing in the
He's
history.
He's the most
of things.
Right wing guy of all time. He's like, nah, fuck this guy. Holy shit!
Like that
if
would
it's
be
John
fucking
Bolton,
hilarious.
Dude, hell is going to break loose. Like, that is going to be crazy.
I think it's going to be – I think it's – so there's two options. So I honestly, I think it's probably just going to be like a staffer.
Just if some, you some want, man or woman.
Right. If you want an actual pick, and I'm basing this off of the fact of some events that we learned about a couple days ago. If you want a high-profile prediction from me,
I'd love
then it's going to be – then it's going to be – then it would be Sue Gordon.
Hmm.
Who That's was the former Dan Coats' former deputy, who when Dan Coats was on his way out the door, literally popped in on a meeting that she was having and was like, you should resign.
Wow.
Come follow me out the door.
Yeah, a lot of people I think it's Dan Coats for the exact opposite reason, right? Which is I think that Dan Coats was covering for her. It was like, you need to get the fuck out because shit's about to go left and I'm trying to protect you. Mm-hmm. But Sue Gordon makes sense, right? Like if Dan Coats found out and he was like, yo, what the fuck are you doing? You need to get the fuck out of here. Who knows? Look,
we'll see.
Sue Gordon, Dan Coats, John Bolton, all three of them, magical fucking names. Holy shit. Holy shit.
Now take it for what it's worth. So apparently the whistleblower complaint is in the hands of the intelligence committees as we speak. Mm-hmm. Mike Quigley, who is a Democratic senator, said he's reviewed the complaint. A couple of quotes he used, deeply disturbing, extraordinarily detailed, and very, very well done. And he said, quote, it lays out exactly what Congress needs to investigate.
It's not a low-level staffer, dude. It's not. Let me rephrase that. I would be shocked to know. I would be shocked to know. Look, I have been saying this since the Mueller investigation started. You can only piss off these fucking super cops for so long. You can only piss them off for so long, dude. These are the guys who care more about the country than they do any president or any, you know, congressman or stuff like that. They will burn your administration to protect the country because they are – that is what they are born and bred to fucking do.
And the thing
that is, they are robots in that way.
The thing that blows my mind, and this ties back to what we talked about, why you have to do this. This – the phone call that was released to the press today was made – the day after Mueller testified before Congress, and it was clear that nothing direct was going to happen as a result of the Mueller report. This dude literally got away with it, and then the next day was like, let's do more crimes, because obviously I'm not going to be held accountable for any of this
shit.
I'm a hella
crimes guy. I'm hella into crimes.
I love crimes. They're the best. That's why you have to do this.
Right.
That's why you have to show him there's accountability.
Right, because if you don't, and let's say that they didn't try to impeach him now. If you didn't, it will only get worse. Yeah, look, he's an old man, right? He knows he don't want to be a fucking president forever. Yeah, out of your fucking mind. But yeah, he would try to run maybe a third term if he could get away with it, and then he'd try to install one of his dumb fuck kids and then have them protect him. That's all they would do. That's all they would do, right? So make no mistake, like, you sitting on your laurels hoping things work out for the best is the worst plan. It is the worst plan. You have to fight this guy while he has the power to be restrained. If you do not fight him now, you are going to be trying to fight a guy who has ultimate power, who has no level of pushback. That's crazy. Like, you're not going to beat him then. Oh, well, I hope people, you know, don't elect him. Well, okay, that's good. That's good and great. I hope people don't elect him either. But at the same time, I believe in taking every knife in the fucking drawer and throwing it at him at the same time. You got to use as much of your weaponry as you can and run against him. That is the goal.
So I think a couple people to watch in this scenario, and I don't have the names in front of me. Any Republican senator who's on the Senate Intelligence Committee who's up for reelect in 2020 – keep an eye on what they have to say about this situation. Keep an eye on Republican House members that are in the House Intelligence Committee. Basically, the people that have the most access to information that have actual stakes that they have to worry about in a year.
You want me to read these names?
Sure. Yeah, go for it.
United States Senate Committee on Intelligence. Richard Burr, North Carolina. Jim Risch. I'm gonna save two of them for the end.
Okay.
Roy Blunt, James Lankford.
Are these all up for
no,
seats?
But these are just members.
These are just the committee members.
Right.
Okay.
These are just members. Tom Cotton.
Oh. I'm not relying on Tom Cotton.
But here's one you should rely on: John Cornyn.
Ooh.
Yeah. Pay attention to John Cornyn because he's up this year. And the last two, one of them you should definitely pay attention to. I'll save that person for last. Marco Rubio.
Okay. Oh, good. Right?
Pay attention to him, the fucking cowardly fucking punk. And the one that you should really pay attention to, Susan Collins.
Is she on the committee? She is on the committee.
She is on the committee. Yes.
Oh, man.
Now, granted, Susan Collins is scrambling for her political life. Cause they coming for you. They're gonna fuck you up, dude. I saw an article that Elizabeth Warren is taking money out of her campaign to use to run against Susan Collins. Like, she's not fucking around. Susan, you're next. Like, she's gonna fuck you up, and I love it. I love it. Yeah, Elizabeth Warren gets it. She's like, no, we need to take Susan Collins the fuck down. So yeah, John Cornyn and Susan Collins are the big names. Mm-hmm. Watch what they say, because that's really going to give you a sense of what they know. Like, it's really going to give you a sense. Oh, well, you know, I'm very concerned about this.
And look, John Cornyn especially, because again, those of you that don't realize, John Cornyn is the number two Republican in the Senate.
That's right.
So he will not be making public statements against the president lightly if he makes them at all. Again, right. Tom Cotton's not going to say shit because Tom Cotton sucks. And Tom Cotton's a douchebag. No, so I'm not expecting much from Tom Cotton.
The worst. Right. He is the worst. Here's a couple of folks on the Republican side, because we don't really care about the Democrats here. But on the Republican side in the House Intelligence Committee, Devin Nunes, Mike Conaway, Mike Turner, Brad Winstrup, Chris Stewart, Rick Crawford, Elise Stefanik, Will Hurd, John Ratcliffe.
Will Hurd is gone anyway.
Yes, he is. And Kevin McCarthy. So Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy is ex officio, so I guess he's just running it. I don't know how that exactly works. Look, that's a big deal. That's a super big deal. Probably Kevin McCarthy is probably the biggest name there who you have to think about. And maybe – I wouldn't say a big name, but Devin Nunes
is not going to – He's Trump's boy. He's Trump's
right.
boy.
He's not going to really give up anything. But you might get something from some of these other folks. And I think that's a good list to go by, to understand that if you see one of these motherfuckers peel off and like say some like, ooh, this shit is crazy – then it's super crazy, right? Because these guys are desperately hanging on for political life. Like, they are. And I think even the Senate is probably a bigger deal. So
the Senate's the biggest deal for sure. So, I mean, that I think those are the ones to really keep an eye out for and just kind of measure what they say mm-hmm. publicly. Cornyn at first is probably going to run cover until it becomes untenable to do so.
Yeah. If Cornyn starts like, pushing back and things like that, like, oh, I don't know, this doesn't look good. Yo, it is 1,000 times worse than you think it is. If Cornyn is pushing back in a seat that is possibly vulnerable, that if Beto would get off his fucking ass and run for, he could take him. Like, actually, by the way, Beto, again, if you're listening, and I know that you are, now is the time to run.
Yeah,
right?
It's something you said on the regular show this week that while it was the right thing to do at the time, he did fuck up his VP prospects by coming out with the whole "we're coming to get your guns" thing. So you're right. I think now would be the time that he needs to pivot off, because there ain't no way.
No, ain't nobody picking you, dude.
Right.
No, you fucked all the way up. Look, and by the way, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. It's just there's political reality and there's reality. Like, you know, that's a big fight that I think Democrats have a lot of times. It's like, well, we should just do this thing. Yeah, but politically, that is not going to work, right? Like, it's just not. But now would be the time to run against Cornyn and be like, so what do you think? Like, call him out. Like, you support this guy? You're okay with this, right? Because now you can point to the fact that he is on the Intelligence Committee and just be like, you know what's happening. You know. You don't have to pretend like you don't know. You know what's happening. And call him out. Call him out and then put pressure on him. Because if you can put pressure on him to break away from Trump, then you got him, right? Or most likely, because he's a fucking Republican, he will tie himself tighter to Trump, right? To hope that it'll all work out. I don't think it's going to work out. I think it's going to get bad. By the way, again, like we said, Trump is likely not going to get convicted in the Senate, but that is not the fucking point. The point is that you have thrown his entire campaign in 2020 into chaos.
And I want to be clear about something else. And I'm not saying this to get anyone's hopes up, and you should keep your hopes as low as you possibly can. But always remember that Republicans were ride or die for Nixon pretty much until we got to spring of 1974.
Right.
And then those last 6 months, they were like, you saw the trend downward. And then, you know, the reason Nixon left is because he went underwater on the Republican side of things. Yeah. So it is not impossible.
No.
Depending on what is uncovered as we investigate
right.
this complaint.
Right. And you know, to that point, let's sort of wrap things up. I love how this is supposed to be a half hour. LOL.
Yeah, right.
No. But, you know, there is a real fear. There is a real fear in the Republican Party, and I think it's a real fear in this administration, more importantly, of what this impeachment means. A lot of the conjecture and a lot of talk right now is, what are they going to do, right? What are the Democrats going to do? What are they going to investigate? Nancy Pelosi came out, and if you go back and listen to the very beginning of this podcast when we played her announcement, she said something that's very important, which is she is instructing six committees in the House to basically do their own sort of mini investigations and bring articles of impeachment to her and Jerry Nadler, right? Or to Nadler, and then Nadler brings it to her, however the fuck that works. So that is – I don't remember all of the committees, but it's the Intelligence Committee, it's the Judiciary Committee, it's the Ways and Means Committee, and it's the Oversight Committee, and then there's like two other ones. I can't remember what they are. Mm-hmm. But understand this. What she authorized was a fucking Hydra, right? She authorized a Hydra. She basically said, look, we have so much information on this guy, and – not just that we just have a lot of information, but we have a lot of information that all of these different committees are already investigating, right? Because those six committees, it's not that she's saying, hey, here are things that you need to newly investigate. She's telling you the things that you're already investigating, we want you to formulate, coalesce those ideas into a fucking impeachment inquiry. And when you do that, once you get something that is solid, then we're going to push it up. Right. And we're going to decide what we're going to put as all of the articles of impeachment. My guess is that is a bullshit move. And it's just really to get all of those things there. I think that's ultimately is.
The only thing, or at least
it should be. Let me just say that.
Well, the only thing that runs counter to that is there was a report earlier today that she told Democrats in a private meeting today to focus the inquiry
on Ukraine. Yeah.
So that's the only thing I'm worried about as far as that goes.
Right. And I hear you, but I think that it's undisputable, right? Like that is the report. But I think that what's going to end up happening is they're going to have way more that is much like this whole thing. The drumbeat's going to be too loud. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's going to be, you can't ignore these 75 other fucking things that we have. Like, you just can't, because if Ukraine doesn't work, you've got emoluments. If emoluments doesn't work, you've got insurance fraud. If insurance fraud doesn't work, you've got Russiagate. If Russiagate doesn't work, you know, like yada, yada, yada. Like, there are so many things. You want to have as much going as possible, right? Because one of the things that is clear, you know, it's like, oh, well, will they be able to get them on this Ukraine thing? Just keep in mind, when they impeached Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton's impeachment started at Whitewater, and somehow it trickled all the way down to him getting a BJ, right? Okay. Whitewater got nothing to do with Monica Lewinsky. And it's much like the Mueller report. It doesn't matter if we're searching for X. If we find A, B, C, D, E on the way to Z, those are also crimes. It doesn't matter. And when Trump, if you look at that transcript, Trump fucked up, right? Obviously, he didn't know this was going to happen, but Trump fucked up because he mentions the Russia investigation in that transcript with Zelensky. Well, guess what? You just tied it all together, my man. You just tied it all together. And the thing that people are talking about is when you start an impeachment inquiry, you get a little bit more power. You get a little bit more power to do subpoenas. You get a little bit more power from the courts, because the courts are like, okay, this is really fucking serious. We're going to give you more information than you could have probably gotten just doing a regular congressional investigation. Because of that, guess what else is at play that nobody's talking about right now, because there's so much shit going on? The unredacted Mueller report is in play, right? There's no reason why you can't say, oh, okay, yeah, no, the Ukraine thing, you're right. Okay, we got to look into that. But maybe there's stuff about Ukraine in the unredacted Mueller report. Let us see it.
Let's see. There was a prominent guy featured in that Mueller report that had a lot of business dealings in the Ukraine.
Bingo.
Who's sitting in a jail cell right now.
Bingo. So, bingo. Fucking Paul Manafort. Right. Exactly. So the idea that they are tightly tied to Ukraine and this fucking call is bullshit. It's bullshit. It's not true. And that is the reason that Trump was calling around to fucking Nancy Pelosi and the rest of Congress. Like, please, baby, please don't fucking do impeachment. Because, yes, Trump is an asshole. Yes, Trump is stupid about a lot of things. But that motherfucker has been informed that they can use this to get all the way through your fucking financials. They can use it. Oh, you're doing the Ukraine. Cool. That connects into Russiagate. Oh, look, that connects to your fucking taxes and your insurance fraud. It all ties together. Every bit of it. If you look at every one of his scandals, they are all tied together. And if you can find one thread from one to the next, you can tie it all together and you can get all of that fucking information. And if you get that unredacted Mueller report, you're in a world of fucking trouble. You are in a world of fucking trouble. I don't know if it's going to get him out of office, but you are in a world of trouble if those things come together. And that's the fucking point. That's why he's scared. Oh, God damn it. I can't wait for this motherfucker to get that information thrown into the public. I don't care. Honestly, I don't even give a fuck if he gets thrown out of office through impeachment. I think it's likely not going to happen. But I want whoever the Democratic nominee is to take their proverbial, because it might not be a man, their proverbial dick and throw it onto the table and be like, here is all of this shit that you are charged with. And it is all proven. That's what and I want.
I agree that that's the most likely outcome. My dream scenario is that we get a scene reminiscent of Denzel at the end of Training Day, where all the Republicans have turned on him, much like the neighborhood turned on Denzel, and he just has a very public freak-out meltdown on the entire Republican Party on his way to resigning. That would be the optimal solution. Probably not the one we're going to get, though.
I mean, yeah, Brad, it's not unheard of that Donald Trump would completely and utterly freak out. I don't know. I think I'm okay with it. I say that from the perspective of it would be hilarious because it would happen over Twitter. But I don't think he would be as good as Denzel.
Oh, you motherfuckers. Okay. All right. I'm putting cases on all you bitches. Huh? You think you can do this shit? Jay! You think you can do this to me? You motherfuckers will be playing basketball in Pelican Bay when I get finished with you. Shoe program, nigga.
You shouldn't.
23-hour lockdown. I'm the man up in this piece. You'll never see the light of day. Who the fuck you think you fucking with? I'm the police. I run shit here. You just live here. Yeah, that's right. You better walk away. Go and walk away, because I'm going to burn this motherfucker down. King Kong ain't got shit on me.
You got to have that part. Too good. I don't think he would have as good of... I don't even have a good of a response.
Denzel, no, he would just have the like the weird sporadic like Twitter Tourette's that he gets sometimes, where he just
presidential like, just streams, harassment,
like, witch hunt.
he's got like three words: presidential harassment, witch hunt. Yeah, he's got like that's it. That's all he's got.
No collusion.
God damn it! You could try better. Look, I think ultimately. I think if the Democrats play this right, I think they will trickle out massive fucking hits on him. And I think they will give the Democratic nominees an ability to talk policy, but to hit this motherfucker as hard as they possibly can when they want, and just give him enough data to work it in. Like, by the way,
that is why nominating Warren over Biden is a really good call, because not only is we're not going to have the stink Like, it's bullshit that Biden's clouded with this, but the fact of the matter is that that's the case.
Right.
But Warren will be much more disciplined.
She'll be clean.
And be able to stay on a policy message and not be obsessed with this all the time. And I feel like that Biden, because Biden is running on, you know, hey, Trump's an asshole and wasn't it great when Obama was president, because that's his fucking platform.
Yeah,
he's not going to be able to resist hitting this over and over and over again.
Right. And at a certain point, you have to tell people what you're about, not what you're against. Right. Like that was Hillary Clinton's biggest Hillary Clinton's biggest mistakes was she was like, I'm not this piece of shit. And people were like, yeah, no, we know. That's cool. What are you about? And she was like, but I'm not this piece of shit. And it was like, yeah, again, we know, Hillary. We got it. But I think the idea of look, I said this on the show, and I think it's actually would be an amazing move, but it would never happen just because the egos are too big. If Biden just let this motherfucker get to a fever pitch and was just like, I quit. Mm-hmm. It would be hilarious, because then you would just open the door. Trump would be like, yes, I won. And then he would take about 5 seconds to realize, fuck, I'm out of ideas, right? Like, this guy has come, he has pushed everything he has into this idea, and he has nothing else. And then the next person who comes up, which would be Warren or Bernie, they'd be like, hey, we're here, and you said all this illegal shit. Great. Now we're going to tear your ass up. Because, by the way, who this works for the best, right? Bernie is really good at, like, workers' rights and things like that, and I love him for that. I do. But, boy, is Warren running at the right time, because her entire campaign is about corruption. Her entire fucking campaign is about exactly what we're talking about. Even if you want to say that Joe Biden's or Hunter Biden was, you know, a level of, like, I think it's a mild corruption. I don't really give a fuck. Was getting paid by this Ukrainian oligarch because his dad was president and they were trying to carry favor, which didn't seem to happen, right? Like, they were just like, oh, here's $50,000 a month to sit on this board. Hopefully something will happen. And he was like, thanks for the money. I'm not going to call my dad. Like, fuck off. By the way, that's if I'm Hunter Biden, that's exactly what I do. Thanks for the cash, you idiots. So there's nothing illegal about that. But if you're talking about that as a point of corruption, or you're talking about Trump using his office to try to bait Zelensky into some bullshit investigation, that is the type of corruption that she's talking about.
Right. So she can get up on the stump and be like, I know you guys are wondering what am I going to do about Donald Trump when he gets out of office, and how can we hold him accountable, because the Republicans certainly aren't going to do it. Well, I have a plan for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and just be like, and then just bring Tish James out. Be like, this is my AG, and she's about to fuck shit up. So, yeah, look, I think this couldn't be worse for Biden in a way, but I think there it could also have the potential to backfire for us, and Biden comes out looking super strong. But his response to this has been really not great. I'm surprised.
No.
Like, dude, this is like, if you're Joe Biden, yo, you should be styling on these people, man.
It's boilerplate. Like, I think today he was like, oh, he's like, this is an affront to the American people. I'm like, Joe, you can be mad personally. Like, that's okay.
Yeah, yeah, you should go. You should actually go kind of ham on this, but. But he won't. But he won't. So, oh well. Oh well.
Like I said, just the important thing for everyone to remember is this is just the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We have a long way to go.
The fight ain't even over, man. Not even
close. But the fact that we are even here, that the Speaker of the House stood up in front of the country and formally opened an impeachment inquiry, is a big fucking deal, and that should not be understated.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. Do you feel better about Nancy Pelosi or worse before we get out of here?
I felt this. I was starting to waver on Pelosi a little bit. Here's the thing. I still don't think she particularly wants this.
No,
like,
she doesn't.
I'm pretty sure that there is still a high level of reluctance in her. But once the tide turned, I think we're up to 215 House Democrats now officially. Yeah.
218 is the majority.
That are supporting this inquiry. She was left with nothing to do. And here's another thing, too, that I'll tell everyone out there. Do not allow any Republicans or any friends of yours to sit there and be like, well, this is bullshit. The Democrats are going to be busy with this instead of passing, you know, getting legislation passed. Make sure you can remind them that there are all sorts of bills that the House passed as soon as they got into session that are just languish, just dude, sitting in the Senate, in the Senate graveyard right
dude,
now.
Dude, I'm pretty sure I saw, I don't remember, and please don't hold me to this number. It's either 210 or 410. 210 or 410 bills, potential bills that the House has sent to the Senate that have sat on Mitch McConnell's desk that he has not voted on.
Right. So while the House, so anyone that criticizes the House for not doing legislation, the House can say, hey, we got plenty of legislation over for them. So while we're going ahead and taking care of this impeachment thing, maybe they can get to the work of legislating real right. quick.
Yeah. Fuck out of here, basically. So, Brad, thank you. That was awesome. My eighth refill of my scotch has brought this episode to an end. Holy shit. I'm going to sleep like a beast. But that was very good. Look, we had to get this out for you guys because we couldn't wait a whole week before we talked about it. It was too important. So yeah, I thought this was productive. I thought it was good. When we get these kind of special moments, if we have to break in during the week, we will do that. Cause I think it's important to get kind of our hot takes right then. Right.
The hottest takes.
That's right. Stakes are high, man. Come on. So we will do that if there's other like massive breaking news. Donald Trump dies of a fucking hamburger heart attack.
Oh, if he resigns or gets thrown out of office or dies, I will drive to Jay's house and we will come to you live with the reactions on that. Mm. Rest assured.
Hey, by the way, spoiler alert, we're gonna be happy. all three are fine. This ain't your mama's political podcast. Get out of here. Andy and I will be back with our normal show early next week. And obviously he'll give his thoughts on the disaster that is happening. But he obviously couldn't be on tonight. But Brad, thank you for jumping in. We appreciate it. And we will see you guys next week.
See ya.